Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. It's such a joy to come into your homes. Thanks for watching. I want to talk to you about following Jesus, being a true disciple. And this reading comes from Matthew chapter 9. It's the call of Matthew. It goes like this. Jesus passed by and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. One time I was reading a book by a French author, and the French author's name is Rien Portvelt. And this author doesn't so much focus on the face of Jesus. It was a bunch of photographs in there, a bunch of actually sketchings, drawings. Not so much on the face of Jesus, but rather on his body, his hands, and on the crowd. And at the call of Matthew, all you could see was a hand going like this, "Follow me." I remember looking at that hand, and it was like the hand came through the pages of the book, the actual hand of Jesus. And it's as if it went through 2,000 years and came right to me and said, "Cedric, follow me." Now, I had already given myself to Jesus as a priest. I was already following him. But what you have to understand is that the call of Jesus to follow him is a daily call. It's a constant call. It's over and over and over again. And I'm hoping by this program, that hand of Jesus that extended to Matthew, to Peter, to the fishermen, to so many others down throughout the ages, to the saints, will extend through the ages, through this program, and beckon to you to follow him. And that's exactly the call of Jesus to each and every one of us. In fact, the scripture says in the Bible, it says that before the world began, God chose us and called us to be his children. Before creation ever came to be, God had you and me in mind, specifically calling us to follow his son, Jesus. So I'm inviting you to radically give your life to Christ and to follow him. Now, I remember in the calls that we had in the Bible here, whenever Jesus would call Peter, James, John, Andrew, or Matthew, the call was immediate and total. In other words, what I mean is the response, they got up, they abandoned their boats, they abandoned the nets, and they followed Jesus. In other words, there was this moment of radical decision. And that's what I'm hoping for you, that it will be an immediate, total following of Jesus, that you'll give everything as you follow him. Now, I remember years ago when I was a young man in school, we used to play this game called Follow the Leader. So there would be about 20 of us lined up or so, and you know the leader would go like this, and then all of us behind him would go like that. And then maybe he'd bend over, and then all of us together we would bend over. Or maybe he'd stand on one leg and all of us together would stand on one leg. It was called Follow the Leader. In a way, that's what the call of Jesus is. When he says, "Follow me," he's asking us to be like him. Not so much in a physical movement type of a way, but have his heart of compassion, his heart of mercy, his heart of love, and be like him, follow him, do what he does. Remember years ago, there was that wristband that came out, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD. What would Jesus do? So in other words, you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you touch that little wristband and you think, what would Jesus do here? He wouldn't honk the horn. He wouldn't make some kind of signal with his hand. He'd pray for that person. Or say somebody asks you for money. What would Jesus do? He would probably be generous and give to that person. So in all the different things of life, all the different atmospheres that you go into, relationships that you have, you try to picture what would Jesus do here, and you try to do exactly what he would do. So that, in a small way, is what Jesus is inviting us to follow him. Now, if you remember in Matthew 25, the same gospel, Matthew chapter 25, there's this great last judgment scene. And in the last judgment scene, there's a great division between those on Jesus' right and Jesus' left. And Jesus' right are those who are saved. Jesus' left are the ones who are damned. And the criteria is this. He says to the ones on the right, come and inherit the kingdom from the foundation of the world and enjoy it. It's beautiful because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was homeless, you sheltered me. And then they said, well, when did we do that? And he said, whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did to me. So that's exactly what discipleship is. It's not so much bending over or lifting your hand or lifting your leg to follow Jesus, you know, like follow the leader. But this is how Jesus lived. He reached out to the marginalized, to the poor, to the downtrodden, to the broken, to those on the fringes of society, and he touched these people. He helped people. He served people. He said, I haven't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And so when we follow him, he's already given us the criteria for the last judgment. It's kind of like having your final exam. You've got the answer already. Now you have to prepare for it. And what we do, we have to realize that we're going to be judged in this great last judgment. And we have to prepare for it by doing exactly what Jesus would do. And that's reaching out to people. Now, we can't do everything, but we can do something. And we must do something. As disciples, we must reach out to people and help people. That's being an authentic disciple of Jesus. I remember back in 2003, I was over in Rome and I was studying. I was studying at the North American College in Rome. That's the American Seminary in Rome. And when I was there, Mother Teresa was being beatified. Now, beatification is the last step before canonization. That's when you're declared a saint. Beatification is when she was declared blessed, and that happened back in 2003. Of course, she's a saint now. And I remember the beatification ceremony, you know, there must have been 500,000 people right in front of St. Peter's Basilica, went all the way to the Tiber River. So there's people, scores, thousands of people everywhere. And my mother was visiting at the time. My mom is half Albanian and Czechoslovakian. If you remember, Mother Teresa was Albanian, so it was such a joy to have her there. And we had other friends there, so a group of us went to the beatification. And I remember standing there in front of St. Peter's, and they always, when there's going to be a beatification or a canonization, they always have this big, long banner right outside St. Peter's with a face of the person being beatified. And they showed Mother Teresa. And of course, if you've ever seen her, and I know you have, that she's kind of old and crumpled and her face is all wrinkled. And she was very short. And I thought to myself, you know, in our culture in the United States, we aggrandize sports figures, those who are sleek and good looking and who can achieve and who have a lot of money and different things like that. We aggrandize people like that, and those are the people we want to follow. But here's 500,000 people gathered for this hunched over old woman with a wrinkly face. And why is that? This is so countercultural. This is so radical. And the reason why is because, as you know, she reached out to the poorest of the poor, the sick, the destitute, the dying of Calcutta, India. This is a woman who loved. And we honored her because of the image of Jesus that shone forth from her. She's an extreme example, but we have thousands of saints in the Catholic tradition. Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Teresa of Avila, all these different saints, Saint Lawrence, Saint Agnes, you name it, Saint Paul of the Cross, Saint Dominic, all these different saints, Saint Benedict, who have in some way, shape, or form followed Jesus and been his image. Could be through preaching like Saint Dominic, could be through prayer like Saint Benedict, could be through serving the poor like Saint Vincent de Paul. So all the saints in some way, shape, or form, it's kind of like facets of a diamond, display the wonderful image of Jesus. Now, as I've said, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So look into your heart where Jesus may be calling you to make a difference in somebody's life. If you want to follow Jesus, you develop a heart of compassion, of mercy, of love, as I said, and you do something. You're proactive. A lot of people think that Christianity is all about going to church, and actually it is about going to church, but that's not the whole thing, as you know. You're not really a true Christian, I think, if you just go to church on Sunday. It's so much more than that. It's about getting involved. It's about doing things. It's about helping people. It's about developing the heart of Christ. I think about, for example, the first martyr, Saint Stephen. He showed us something about the image of Christ that was beautiful. And this comes from the Acts of the Apostles. Just as he's dying, he's being stoned for proclaiming Christ. As he's dying, as he's being stoned, he dies in the same way that Jesus died, with forgiveness on his lips. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And standing there, watching the stoning, holding onto a cloak, was a man, Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul, the great apostle. And I believe that because Stephen prayed for him as he was being stoned, God graced Saul to become this great apostle. So in other words, through the prayer of Stephen, through his dying prayer, that forgiveness would be offered to these people, the great apostle emerged. And it's the same way in our life. One of the great hallmarks of Jesus was his forgiveness. As you know, he died, one of his words on the cross were, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Can you imagine, in the horror of the crucifixion, we don't even have the words to try to describe what that was. Here's Jesus offering forgiveness to his captors, to the ones who are doing this to him. This is the beautiful heart of Jesus. And as followers of him, this is who we are to become. Recently, I read a book about forgiveness. It was called Everybody Needs to Forgive Somebody by Alan Hunt. And it was a powerful book. As I read about all these different stories of people who have been hurt by others and who had offered forgiveness in dramatic means, people that have had their children murdered and forgave their murderers, people who had been in accidents and forgave the people that harmed them physically, and all these different scenarios. As I was reading it, I couldn't help think about some of the people that I have in my life that I have been resentful toward and I hold grudges toward. And because I've been resentful and hold grudges, sometimes I spend a lot of energy just thinking about these people and I'm mad at them. And that book convinced me once again that I need to let go of this and I need to forgive these people, because the book, time after time after time, kept showing me that when people forgave, they were blessed. They were set free. And actually, the people that they forgave were blessed too. Just like Paul the Apostle became an apostle because Stephen forgave him. And so there were numerous examples in this book. Everybody's got to forgive somebody. And I realized that I had to forgive. So I started to forgive people that had hurt me. I had tried to in the past, but I had let it go, obviously, because I still had some resentment and some bitterness. And as I forgave, there was a great joy that welled up in my heart, and didn't think about those people anymore. And I learned some things about forgiveness. First of all, as Jesus said, 70 times 7. If you want to be an authentic follower of Jesus, forgive those who hurt you. I know it's hard, but you do it by God's grace, by God's help, and everybody's got people that have hurt them. 70 times 7, what does that mean? Over and over and over again. It's a decision that you make. You keep doing it over and over again, and maybe you don't feel like it, or maybe your feelings won't catch up, but you do it, and as you do it, your feelings eventually will catch up. You lose the bitterness, you lose the resentment. So this is one virtue, forgiveness. This is one virtue out of many: love, mercy, kindness, gentleness, justice, honesty, courage. One out of many virtues that Jesus had. And when he invites us to follow him, It's not so much we do what he does when he moves, we become like he is in his heart. In Catholic tradition, this is called the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we become like Christ. See, the call that Jesus gives us is the call to become like him, to become into his image. Recently, about a year ago, I wrote a book about discipleship. And the book was called More Than Conquerors. Because when you follow Jesus, no matter what you face in your life, no matter what the hardships, the trials, or the difficulties, when you follow Jesus, eventually, when the end comes, and even during, you will be more than a conqueror. You will be the victor in life as you follow Jesus. Death will not have the final say. Resurrection will. You will be more than conquerors. And as I wrote the book, I tried to, the best I could, put in what it means to follow Jesus authentically. And I'm hoping that you'll get this book because I want you, again, not to just go to church or kind of follow Jesus at a distance, but really to be a radical, on fire, all in. If you've ever watched poker on TV, you know, I'm all in. You go all in with Jesus and you give it all to Christ. Well, in this book, I begin the book, get this, I don't know if it's the best way to begin a book, but I start off by asking a question, and the question is, are you a disciple? Now, I know that most of the people that are going to read this book are already followers of Christ because they probably bought it because they saw me in church or maybe on TV. But I ask that question, are you a disciple? And what I mean by that is, are you following Jesus the way he invited you to follow him in the Bible? Oftentimes we kind of get a cultural version of what it is to follow Jesus. And again, it means just going to church. But that's one part of it, but a very little part of it, I think. Following Jesus is what you do outside of church. It's 24/7. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I talk about in this book how one time I went into a pastor's office and I saw a portrait on the wall of this pastor's office that made me just stop and look. And the name of the portrait was called The Christian's Last Prayer by a man named Jerome. And what it was it was the Roman Colosseum. And there's all these people in the stands, thousands of people, there in the center of the Colosseum, huddled together in prayer, are a group of about 20 Christians. You can see in a distance a bunch of lions coming out of their cage, and they're about to be attacked by these lions. And it's called the Christian's Last Prayer because they're about to be eaten by the lions. And that's exactly what happened in Rome. Nero and the persecutions, there were many martyrs in Rome. And in other words, as I looked at that portrait, I was struck by the cost to following Christ. I think in our day and age, we've kind of lost a sense of that. It is hard to follow Jesus authentically. It costs everything to give your life for Christ. And I remember when I studied in Rome, there were many churches in Rome. There were churches in just about every street corner, but it wasn't always that way. To follow Jesus back in the early centuries in Rome would have been subversive. And of course, there were many martyrs, beginning with Peter and Paul. Paul, of course, beheaded. Peter crucified upside down. Andrew, we believe, was crucified in the form of an X. So these disciples that were called and gave themselves radically to Jesus, they were killed, murdered. I think about St. Lawrence, who was a deacon who was killed in Rome, popes, priests, bishops, Agnes, young people, older people, thousands upon thousands of martyrs. And I remember as I studied there and I reflected and I prayed, I could just get a sense of the power of that place because of the blood of martyrs. And of course, as I believe it was Tertullian that said, the blood of martyrs is the seed of new Christians and how Christianity has spread. But my point is, their radical commitment to Christ. Would you give your life for Christ? Would you give yourself as a martyr for Christ? Some of you would, others of you probably wouldn't. Jesus is inviting us to follow him, and he may not be calling you to be a martyr. The word martyr means witness. But he's calling all of us to be a witness by helping others, and by following him the best we can. So number one, to follow Jesus is to be like Jesus. And then number two, we learn in the Gospel of Mark chapter 3, when his apostles were called, the primary call was to be with Jesus. So when Jesus called them, it wasn't so much to go out and proclaim him, not right away. First of all, to spend time with Jesus. That's what it means to be an apostle, to be with Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Oh, it's so beautiful to come to Jesus. I think about all the different saints. Saint Benedict, for example, founded Western monasticism. You know, monks praying, spending time with Jesus. Saint Anthony of the Desert went to the desert in the beginning, the early centuries of Christianity, to lead the society to be with Jesus. I think about all the different saints that we've had in our Catholic tradition who have been steeped in prayer. See, this is one of the ways that you can be with Jesus. Jesus put it this way. He said, abide in me. This is what it means to be in a disciple. Not living in your own power. Abide in Jesus. Paul the Apostle said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So, in other words, he found a new identity. He lost his old identity and found a new identity in Christ crucified. So, there's this deep mysticism, this deep oneness, this deep union with Christ. And this is what it means to follow him. St. Augustine hears this voice, take up and read. And as he started to read the scriptures, has a conversion. St. Francis of Assisi has a conversion as he hears Jesus talk about the rich young man, and give all to follow me. And so many people have read this, myself, read the scriptures. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, ask and you shall receive, change my life. So abide in Jesus. That is so crucial, so important. And that's what it means to follow Jesus, that you spend time with Jesus. And again, Christianity is not just about going to church. It's about a living relationship with a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And then very quickly, proclaim Jesus. Proclaim Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple, the best you can, with your words and with your actions. Our Pope, Pope Francis, wrote his first book. First book is called The Joy of Discipleship. I love this. He's talking about discipleship. And he's saying that the way that we can attract people, the way that we can be a witness is to share our joy. I love what it says in 1 Peter. Always be ready to witness, and that with gentleness, to share about the hope that is within you. I remember one time, and this is when I was a young man and just searching for God, I saw a Billy Graham program on TV. And this Billy Graham program, I don't even remember what Dr. Graham said. I remember the guest that he had on right before him who gave a witness. It was a woman who had the biggest smile. And you could see the joy radiating from her. And as I was looking at that, I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I need. See, that joy was contagious. That joy was attractive. And that's how we're witnesses, by sharing the joy, by being gentle, by showing our love for Jesus. That's so crucial. So I'm going to invite you to make a new surrender. I believe that the hand of Jesus right now is extending toward you, and he's saying, follow me. And we follow Jesus by becoming like him, not so much physically, but his heart, generous, giving, and forgiving. So somebody you need to forgive in your life right now. And then spend time with Jesus. Abide in him. Everything that you do, allow him to take control of your life. Spend time in prayer. Read some good books. Watch TV programs. Go on retreat. Spend time at mission. Go to confession if you're Catholic. And abide in him. And then, of course, proclaim Jesus. And don't do it by beating people over the head with the Bible. Do it by your smile. Do it by your generosity. That's what people need to see. That's why 500,000 people were gathered at Mother Teresa's beatification. And at your funeral, they'll gather too, as you love people. Jesus' call to Matthew is his call to you today. And it's simply this: come, follow me. All things work to good for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. I talked in my preaching about St. Francis of Assisi in the dungeon, how it changed him, Joseph in prison, how it changed him. And I have a prison ministry where I have a number of pen pal ministers, people writing to people in prison. And I got a letter from a woman in prison. She said, I've been reading your books, Live Passionately, You Can Change, Challenges Make Champions, You Are Loved. And she said, it's really touching us. We're sharing it with everybody here. And so I sent her the rest of my books. Then I got a letter from somebody that said, we're not Catholics, but your Christian teaching and preaching has so impacted us and inspired us that we have been renewed. We've never contributed to any TV evangelist but you. You are divinely special to us, and we're devoted to your ministry. I thank you for that. And what I'm trying to do here is to help people gain perspective in their life. I want you to have meaning in your sufferings, and also I want you to gain perspective. I'm reaching out to people in prisons. I'm trying to help all people, people that have fallen away, young people, and we're doing this. We're reaching out with the gospel everywhere in the world. Would you support me either by buying my resources or by becoming a partner with my TV ministry? I'd so appreciate it. If you like the preaching, please support it. We'll send you an envelope. Just designate whatever book you want. We'll send that to you. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Don't just live. Live with passion. I heard about this water carrier in India, and he had two pots on this pole, and one of the pots had a crack in it, and it was losing the water every time he went up there. Finally, after about a year, the crack pot spoke to him and said, I am so sorry, I've been losing that water, and it's been terrible. And he said, next time we go, take a look at the side of the road. So he went up, and sure enough, the crack pot said, I'm so sorry, I lost that water again. And he said, did you notice all the beautiful wildflowers along the side of the road? And the pot said, yeah. He said, well, I knew you had a flaw. I knew you had a crack in you. And I purposely planted flowers there. And so you have been watering those flowers. Now I cut those flowers and I beautify the master's table. And so what I want to tell you is that in the cracks of your life, in the scars, the flaws, God takes advantage of that and uses that to bring about good. So I want you to realize that your sufferings have purpose, and don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.